This is Voices of Defiance podcast number 37, recorded live in front of an internet audience on Sunday, July 12th, 2015.
I'm Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
That was awesome.
Chick fight! Chick fight! Chick fight! Hello! I'm your host, Stargate Pioneer, and with me is the stunned Miss Shannon.
It was stunned, yes. It was great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And also with me is the man who never, ever, ever needs any introduction, so we won't do it. Okay, we'll be talking, you know, with us is Sean.
Sup, dolls?
You doing okay, dude?
I am. I stayed up till about 3:30 last night, and it's early for me now.
it's early for me. Sean and I were both doing projects for the show here, and I think we got to bed about the same time. So bear with us, would you? So today we'll be talking about season 3, episode 6, Where the Apples Fell. Hey, just a reminder, you can catch us on our network page at GunnaGeek.com. You can go to the contact page in the top right-hand corner of the Voices of Defiance page, and you can find all the great ways you can reach us. Also, you can catch us on our voicemail line at 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751. And before we start, I want to say a couple of things. First of all, thank you to everyone for tweeting Nicole Munez last week. That's at Nicole Munez 94 for telling her to watch Star Wars. Now, I'm not sure if she's had a chance to yet, but you might want to give her a little shout out and ask her if she has, especially after that awesome San Diego Comic-Con Star Wars panel we had 2 days ago. Oh, it even choked Chris Hardwick up. Did you get a chance to see any of it, Sean?
I did not. Up sent me a link and I haven't looked at any of it.
So the sizzle reel is 3 minutes, 40 seconds, give or take. And it's not like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, like the trailer was or the teaser trailer was. It is a more emotional path through the filming of the show. So you should definitely go check that out. Now, and we're a sci-fi podcast on Defiance, but I think everybody is big Star Wars fans. So go ahead, ask Nicole if she's had a chance to actually watch any of it yet and see.
You realize she's going to hate us.
Well, we love you, Nicole.
Yeah, let's not bombard her too much.
And, well, yesterday we had a fun event occur, didn't we, Sean?
Yes, we did. I have a prom date. Y'all can suck it. Everybody else, I don't care.
And it's the reason why Sean was up till 4 a.m.
It's true.
So what happened was we kind of messed up the dates a little bit, but we are going to release, before this podcast officially comes out, we are going to release an interview we had with Miss Kinsey.
As he over here gets a smile on his face, yeah. He stares into his microphone.
It was a really fun interview. It is really too long to play right now, so we are definitely going to release it as soon as I get done editing it, which is after I fix a flat tire. So it will be out later this afternoon for those listening live, so you can hear Nicole Galicia.
Yeah, she was very gracious with her time.
You say the name right, she'll get on to you.
I'm pretty sure I did. I'm sorry, Nicole, if I didn't. I'm a little sleep deprived, but yeah, Nicole Galicia, the woman, the actor that plays Kinsey, and it is awesome. You need to check it out. It's probably going to be about an hour of your time, but you so need to check it out. So
she might eat you.
Yeah, she had a lot of fun with us.
She had a lot of fun with you.
Yeah, I love her.
So, Shannon, it was a good interview, right?
It was a great interview. And she's got him to add color to something that I've been requesting for a while. So it right. worked. Whatever worked. It looks great. So I can't wait for y'all to see this.
She asks, she gets it. Y'all.
And we're just nothing. That's okay. That's okay. But I can't wait for y'all to see the new graphic of our logo because it's going to rock.
Absolutely. All right. So what we've got here today is some ratings, and the latest ratings I could find were for the July 3rd, so you didn't expect them to be great, but the Defiance showing for the live showing, and I don't have exact numbers, all the numbers I have are live plus three in the adult 18 through 49 demographic, so these aren't total numbers, but it got a 0.4 share, and then it went up 75%, so it got up to a 0.6 something in total. It did not make any of the other lists that I saw, so I wouldn't expect anything else from July 3rd, but these are live plus 3 day ratings. I assume that as people get home from their vacations, so the live plus 7 ratings would be higher, but that's all we got.
Well, I know the live plus 3 still works for the weekend, too. Like, I came home Friday night and finished watching it, so I rewind it and watch it, and then Saturday I watched a little bit of it, and then I watched it again this morning, so all three of those days count.
That's true, they do. Okay, and then also, we had an episode this week where the apples fell, and it was a fun episode. I enjoyed it, and we'll talk a lot about it, but first of all, it was written by, and it's hard to say a newcomer, but this is one of the few episodes that she has written. It's Paula Yu. Yeah, and she was also a producer of Eureka, so she's been around sci-fi quite a bit.
I don't know if you've seen it, but she has a, I thought it was awesome, and I told her so. She has a video out there of her playing the violin. She plays the theme song for Defiance on her violin. It is beyond cool. So if you're interested in the kind of thing, you should go check her out. It's on her Twitter page.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely do that. And then it was directed by the same director that we had last week, Felix Alcala. But you've done a tremendous job. You are also a producer on the show. And what I've noticed this year is they've done the same director 2 weeks in a row. So the first 2 weeks was one director. The second two episodes, or the third and the fourth episode, was a second director. And the fifth and sixth episode was Felix. So I think they've done a wondrous job in trying to maintain the storylines, because this is a very long arcing story through the 13 episodes. So that's great. All right. Where do you guys want to start? Because this one was fun. Who do you want to start with first? Kinsey? You want to talk about her?
Kinsey?
Yeah, I kind of figured. So, Sean, what's up?
Go for it.
Well, this was a good episode for her. Well, let me check that. This was a good episode for me, watching her.
That's more believable for you, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, she's a new character on the show, so it's difficult to stand out. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday with Nicole herself. It's a little bit difficult to stand out as a female in a cast of females this strong.
And especially coming in third season.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically the new kid on the block, and look at what she's doing already. I mean, she's amazing, but yesterday, and I backed this up probably, I don't know, 7-8 times, her coming around the corner when she's about to accuse her father of Stamolov, just that, the way she walks, the way she looks, the way she just, I mean, she's like part cat. Nice.
Tell us how you really feel.
Oh, that's nice.
You and Alec have something going on, because he walked in, he was like, dang. Now, his wife is barely what? A couple weeks, maybe a month dead, right? He's already like, hey, that Omek looking fine.
I don't think you could walk into a room and not, as a guy interested in girls, I don't think you could walk into a room with Kinsey and not pay attention. Whether you're married, your wife is freshly dead, any of that stuff, I don't think it matters. I think you pay attention to Kinsey.
Well, I think it should matter for Alec, but that's okay, because, you know, that just happened to be his...
Why? He's not married.
Anymore.
Not anymore.
Because his mom killed his wife.
Can't death do you part all
there
that.
There went his protector.
Yeah, death to you part, all that stuff, you know, it's fine. But uh-huh. This was the first episode where I think he realized where he's fit into the world. I mean, his parents kicked the crap out of him. I mean, his mom beat his ass.
Well, so, not necessarily. I mean he went head to head with his dad for a little bit, but yeah, granted, the dude's got to learn some moves, because his dad's very
fighty,
streetish.
Well, his dad's a thug for all intents and purposes. His mother's a master manipulator and not a bad fighter, as we see in this episode.
I would not have picked her to win, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I don't know.
You didn't pick her to win?
I wouldn't either. I'd have picked Amanda too.
After seeing Amanda in action before, we'll get to that later. Go on.
We'll get to that later. But here we have Alec, and for the first time in his life, he realizes that he's not a thug like his father, no matter how much he would like to be or thinks he could be or whatever. He's not a manipulator like his mother. He figures out the place where he fits
is. And he's not strong like either one of them.
Information is power. And he used the only information he could to better his situation. And I mean, he's just a normal guy for all intents and purposes. And that's what he did.
I think this was a great episode for Alec. Yeah, this is a great for Jesse himself. I mean, the lines he had here. The interaction he had with Nolan in this episode was the first we've seen with them two together. It was like them sitting at the bar. I love that part. They were actually interacting well with each other.
Well, there was a lot of real moments in this episode. There was Nolan and Daytac. There was Nolan and Alec. There was
Alec and Arissa.
Yep.
That was a great one.
Kinsey and her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that wasn't so great.
What do you mean it wasn't great?
That was even Nicole was like, that's a little too much.
Even her father cannot resist Kinsey.
Clearly.
She's like, you know, Andromeda, or not Andromeda.
Rolling the eyes.
She's like Aphrodite or so. She's like a purple Aphrodite.
Take me to the big bird bed.
I had to rewatch the episode this morning. So as I'm rewatching it, I'm seeing the beginning of the scene, and Kinsey says that the normal Omec culture is family love, basically. I forget the exact line, but this is normal for Omec society. And remember, these are aliens. These are not humans. So, different customs.
What if the Omec are like the backwoods Alabama of the of the universe?
Stop.
Ding, 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 ding.
Stop it.
Then their spaceship would have all sorts of plastic add-ons and spoilers. And
you don't know there isn't a pink flamingo on the hood ornament.
You don't know.
I mean, we don't know.
I have seen a video on how rednecks soup up a 12-foot John boat. A guy put a racing motorcycle in there and put the wheel on the back with a bunch of paddles on and then ripped across the lake like that. So that's how rednecks think.
You don't know. That's not the... Because they got here late.
Guest 55 in the chat says, Omecs love NASCAR.
See? I'm telling you. You're talking that NASCAR fast.
It's not rubbing. It's racing.
I mean, you know, the Omec, I mean, that could be their thing. That purple jumpsuit could be the Omec equivalent of a crop top and Daisy Dukes. You don't know.
Well, you like her Daisy Dukes.
I love her anyway. It doesn't matter. I married a Southern girl. I like them Southern girls.
Now that you mention it, I'm pretty sure she had purple Daisy Dukes on.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying, y'all.
It's so cute to watch you over here fangirling as much as I fangirl. It's awesome.
I love her to death. I do. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Right.
Of Nicole and Kinsey.
Mm-hmm. We need to get you in Defiance. Because I don't think, what's his name? Ben, I can't remember. The lock keeper that was shooed away by Berlin that played Ben in the pilot.
Yeah.
He ain't going to last very long. So you need to come in and take his place.
Saying that law keeper's a red shirt. Okay.
I don't actually plausible. I'm pretty sure that he's not, because they've kept him around this. If he was a red shirt, he would have died when Stalma killed the law keeper, and he didn't. So they need him around for a secondary character.
For to kill later. That's what they need. So, eat some now, save some for later. That's what that is.
Stalma's not having a good time in this episode.
I don't know.
It's a bit emotional.
I think she thrives on this sort of stuff. I think she does. I think this is where her she's casty at heart, right? And she likes to win. And in order to win, you have to play the game. And heck, at the end, she went to Daddy Tevkin.
Let me tell you, I think, here's my prediction. Of course, I can be completely wrong because I have been before. But this is the best bargaining chip that she has. By going to Tevkin, by going to him, he can help her, you know, save her from the town that's chasing her and make them, hey, I will help you, but you got to leave her alone. The VC is coming. I think this is the best bargaining chip, and I think we're going to see Tevkin willing to help Stalma more than he was ever willing to help Nolan.
How's Stalma a bargaining chip against the VC?
because maybe there's more that Tevkin that can actually do than what he's willing to show Nolan.
Oh, you mean for the town to get Tevkin to do something?
Right.
Okay.
For the town to get Tevkin to help them against the VC.
Thought you were like going to use Stalma as a bargaining chip for Ramtok. And I'm like, no, that's not going to work. He kills his own wife.
Omek's going to use Stalma in several other ways. Just not for Ramtok.
Little known, there was an extra line deleted right after the scene cut where she's like, Tevkin, help me. I truly love NASCAR. And that's really why he brought her inside. I mean, that's little known.
This is wrong.
It's behind the scenes.
I look great in Daisy Dukes.
I mean that's probably
more
how
like
it went
I
down.
Like plums.
So as long as we're sticking along the lines of the Omek here, when Nolan and Alec go in to talk to Tevkin about using the sensors on the ship, right? Alec was like, it's the one time where his sense of smell actually works, right?
Because, oh man, that was awesome. It's kind of sick. Like, my mom's been here and naked. I mean, how would you like that as a son? Like, knowing everywhere your parents have, like, gotten down and nasty in the house? I mean, that's probably
my mom's Chivo.
Yeah. And her being able to see whatever socks or whatever you've been using.
I think that's why they keep a big pool in the middle of the house, you know?
Get it over with, huh?
I mean, it's just like...
Keeps the house cleaner.
Cesspool comes to mind, you know? How'd you like to swim in your dad's goo?
Okay, that's just nasty. Although she did Nicole teased me yesterday because she was saying that her and Stama may become besties and that they may end up in the pool, which I'm like, okay, I'm down with, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think she was just teasing me. Damn it.
See, so you have the genetic goo pool with the Castathans, who are supposed to be the clean ones. And then you have Omek bird nest lovemaking. I don't know. I'd probably go with the Omek on that. Just saying.
She did.
Well, yeah.
So what's going to happen when Chloe Kenny comes back? Stommel's attention is going to be divided.
I don't think so. I think Tevkin is and his plums are more than enough attention for her.
Tevkin can share his plums?
Yeah. And honestly, she might be down a husband soonish. You know, or at least he might be messed up. I mean, because I don't think they're going to kill Daytac because he's too slippery. If they're going to mess him up. So I mean,
I think the shaming rack is in his future.
Well, yeah, for sure. But okay, so Daytac breaks in prison over Nolan faking killing Alec. It's just...
That was hysterical.
I know, but on the face value, it's hysterical, and I love the scene, but then I was thinking about it. Daytac must have known Nolan's not going to kill him. Nolan doesn't kill just... to kill. I mean, there's always a reason why he draws his gun. And he's got Alec bent over the bench with his gun against his head, shooting to the side of his head, shooting above his head, but never shooting him. He doesn't shoot a limb or anything like Amanda did with Lotion Boy. So
Lotion Boy.
Yeah, but to be fair, you knew as soon as Amanda got a gun on him and found out what he did, Poopinger wasn't going to make it very far.
Right, but that's my point. If Nolan was actually going to kill Alec, he would have made some damage.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Daytac knows now that the town's pretty pissed at him. So, I mean, he doesn't really understand maybe what Nolan's going to be capable of. I don't know. You'd think he'd figure that out, but he was fooled. I tell you, I love the part where Tony, in that scene right here, right after he was like, okay, you did great. If you watch his hands can't stay still. And I don't know if that's just because part of the character of Daytac or if that was just the amazing part that Tony was adding to it. But his hands are constantly moving like he's agitated and he can't keep still. I thought that was a great line. But him clapping was awesome. You did good. You did good. It's cool.
You both bluffed me. It was great. Yeah, he was proud of his son. That's what happened. He was proud of his son. But again, I just don't think Daytac would have realistically thought that Nolan was going to kill Alec. I don't think so.
I think Nolan is willing to, because if you get Nolan in battle mode, he has no trouble killing anybody. But if Daytac actually believed that he was to that point, he has respect for Nolan's abilities. So I think he could have bought it, especially with his son, the torquing or, you know, the pivot pin in that. Because there's only really two people Daytac cares about, you know, Stama and Alec, maybe now Luke, but that's about it.
At least we know the wee one's name.
I wish I would have showed the conversation with Nolan explaining to Alec how bait works. You know, why do you need me? I can take care of myself. Well, no, yeah, I need you to come with me. Why? Because you're going to be bait. That's what he should have said.
Well, yeah, but I think Alec took it to mean if they try to kill him, at least Nolan could try to protect him.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's the way Alec took it. And Alec's like, yeah, I got it. I mean, nobody's fooling anyone anymore. They all know what each other's are up to in a general sense, right? You know that the Tars are up to no good. So it's just a question of Alec coming to terms with it and saying, yep, got it.
So here's what I'm thinking, though, because even though Alec knows that his parents blew up the Arch and he told them that they're VC spies, but he's a little ungrateful at the moment because they did do these things.
They also killed his wife.
Yeah, but he doesn't know the whole story yet. But
I would be a little upset.
I know that, but they did do these things.
Blowing up the Arch is symbolic in defiance as 9/11 was in New York.
They did do these things in order to protect him. That's what they thought they were doing.
Right, but it doesn't make it right. And Alec knows this. He's like, fine, you know, if I would have died, that would have been better than the Arch being blown up.
Because you remember, the Arch had special significance for Alec, too. I mean, that was his focal point for most of his life. You know, I mean, he had the music up there. He had his center. I mean, that was his thing, you know, and his parents blew it up. They killed his wife. They've cut large swaths out of his life. And it just
burned his hand, beat him up several times.
Yeah, they're not good parents. Bad parenting skills.
He cannot win. He cannot win against those two. And that's been proven to him over and over and over again.
And I love that scene between Amanda and Stama, how you're such a beautiful mother. Oh, don't laugh at me. That was great.
All right.
Those two fighting were awesome.
Yeah.
I've been waiting all year long for that scene to come through.
That fight was amazing. It was knockout, drag out, and I didn't know Stama had that in her, which was great. And I seriously still would have picked Amanda to win at the start of all that.
I would have picked Amanda too, because you look at Stama, she's a scrawny little woman, and Amanda's, you've already seen her fight several times in the series. You've seen her do the bar fight with the VC. You've seen her at the beginning of this season take down the people that were trying to rob them, and she shot out their kneecaps. And then she killed Poopinger, so I mean, she has it in her. So I don't know why Stama got the upper hand of her, but so why do we think
Stama has absolutely positively nothing
to lose? Yeah.
Nothing.
Why do we think Stama let her live?
Oh, no, I'm going to go to my grave wondering.
I think she did out of respect of Kenya.
Yeah, maybe. That's the only thing I could think of. That, or she didn't want to kill anybody else, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe she secretly loves the side braids, too.
That damn braid.
Trenna. I wonder how much of that of her scenes in this episode were ad-libbed and how much were written, because that whole interaction with Daytek was fantastic.
The Kevin tweeted the other night saying that he would have never wrote that line if the fans hadn't loved the side braid so much that the side braid, her scotch, has almost become a character on itself. So he wrote that line specifically for it because the fans love her side braid. So, and Doc has some girl crushing going on right there. So
it's the damn braid.
That line, I tell you, Trenna has the best snarkiness lines of this entire show.
I hope you washed your hands. It's flu season. You should get a high maintenance tattoo. Do you want me to insult you or help you? First one and then the other.
You know, and the way she kind of walks, she's like, you know, she's all right, get in the car. Here we go. So I don't know. She did just a fantastic job with that. She really did.
It's a little surprise that she didn't, Doc Yule didn't help Stama. She just shoot her away. She's like, bye-bye-bye. Go bye.
I think she'd been blown at that point.
You know, there was nobody else left watching her.
You don't know. We don't know that.
They were all running after Daytek.
I don't know, man.
Get him. Because
they knew that she was doing something.
She's just like, keep it moving, people. Keep it moving.
You also got side braid and Barbie punch.
Yeah, a little. Oh, talking about Conrad? Yeah, the boyfriend? See, this is why I like Berlin. Her ex-boyfriend is a very wealthy arms dealer. That's the Berlin I love and know. Hey, baby. Got some guns.
Maybe that's why she came to the town so rigid and formal. Because
she had rigid?
Obviously not enough.
And she had some Nolan, and she had Tommy. I'm trying to think of anybody else. That's it, right?
That's about it, as far as I know.
And maybe her and Amanda.
Maybe she's had some Amanda. I don't know. Yeah. She's awfully attached to Amanda lately.
I think a big chunk of the town has had Amanda.
She was, when the whole fight was going on in the Need Want, she was upstairs. You know, in the very beginning.
Since off 11.
Finding those Benoit balls upstairs.
I think she was there waiting for Amanda to come home.
Waiting for her to come up and explain what these Benoit balls are.
I've washed them, now what?
Yeah. Well, but they were just having a little conversation, and they're like, "Hey, do you guys know? Yeah, we know where we're going. Yeah, whatever. You know, we are Side Braden Barbie Punch Detective Agency. We're out of here."
I will always coin that. I love that.
See, and here's me thinking that Rom Talk was normal kind of at the very beginning, but he tipped his hand a little bit and he said, "I am a reasonable man," or whatever. I'm like, no, nobody is reasonable says something like that. So I knew something was wrong. And this episode, I'm like, you and Poopinger should have gotten together last year and we would have had a much, much better series last year.
Oh man, the dude stabbed the mother of his children because she wanted, and here's the thing, all right? And this would always work on me, right? There's a scene in Walk With Me, because it's going to be a journey. There's a scene in Conan.
It usually is.
There's a scene in Conan, the barbarian.
The first one? The very with Arnold?
Yeah, the first one. Is that the Destroyer or is that the Barbarian? Anyway, it's the one where Valeria is still alive. And the chick he was doing. It was the one where he was a thief, basically. And she goes to him and is like, "Look, we've never had so much. We've never been better off. Let's just cut and run. You and me, let's just do this." And he cannot leave it alone. And she comes to him all snuggly and happy and warm and half naked and is like, "Hey, look, let's just cut and run. Everything will be better if you do that." And of course, dumbass Conan doesn't do that. She winds up dying. He winds up with all the riches and it doesn't mean anything to him. And he's miserable for the rest of his days.
Till the next movie.
Rom Talk had a situation just like that. Woman all snuggly and warm asks him, "Look, come home. Everything is fine. Everything will be fine. We'll live a long, happy life. Come on home. We'll make out and have snuggle time. Let's just do this. Let's just cut it here and let's go." And instead of, that would always work on, instead of taking the deal, he stabs her, kills her, and then spends all night watching her.
Forgive me. Forgive me.
See, the whole scene when he's having sex with her while he's staring at the heads around him, that's just some freaky crap.
Look, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, if you have severed heads on a pole in your place, even around your place, you have anger issues.
Yeah, his whole speech, his like Independence Day speech at the beginning, like, "We're going to go win, yay," right? And he's like, "Oh, the bedraggled head collection." He goes up and kisses the head and everything. And all I'm thinking is, the germs, man, the maggots that are in that head. Oh, I would nasty. Not want to do that.
Ugh. She tells him he stinks. Well, of course he stinks. Look what he's surrounded by. Nastiness. The whole scene was gross. I didn't like it. I would rather have the Omex together all day long than watch that scene again. Nasty.
And he's... Okay, so he mentions when she comes up to him and she says, his wife, I'm going to get this wrong. I already know it, but full.
How about that girl?
No, she deserves. She was a good.
Living dead girl.
She was a short-lived dead girl. So just that girl, that his wife. Who would have ever thought that he would have had a wife and children? Why? Why populate that?
Well, that he knows of anyway. Yeah.
Why populate that?
Volubella, his wife, right? When she comes up and she's talking to him about everything, he's like, "Oh, we met some resistance." What resistance did you meet? Nolan, Arissa, and Alok? That's it? I mean, look, seriously, that's the only resistance
he actually had was Arissa putting the knife to his neck.
And then they blew up his net cutter, right? And then Alok kind of stabbed him a little bit and ran, and then Nolan shot him, right?
Or and no, his not guys Nolan. Can't Rafe. Shoot with craps. I mean, he had no resistance.
They're stormtroopers. Yeah. Rafe shot him. So add Rafe to that list. So he met Nolan, Arissa, Alak, and Rafe, and that's what his resistance was. And he has an army. Come on.
His army gets smaller all the time. Like, if you look at his army, it's like 15 guys.
BB and multiple BBs.
CTBB better be damn on it if that's all he's got.
And he has a little Liberata.
Yeah, look at the shot of his like big, you know, "We're gonna go rough up the town" speech. There's like 20 guys, you know, they're all standing around like gorillas with bandoliers and stuff like that. And you're just like, "That's it? That's your army? What are you doing?
200 miles away from Defiance?" I think.
And why is the town scared of you?
I mean, sure, you got it all stabby on your wife and stuff, but, you know, it's...
Cannot be worse than the Volge. You can bring them through Bissell Pass all over again and shoot from the rocks. How hard is this, people?
They do have a Volge. And then, of course, did you like Nolan's fugitive speech at the beginning?
Very informative. Don't shoot them. Don't kill them. We need information. and then we're going to do it.
But, well, it wasn't Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive, but it was all right. He was doing all right.
Yeah, he was doing all right. So he did mention that there are three ways into town, right? Over the mountains or aerial assault.
Through the tunnels.
Through the mines, tunnels, or through the net, right? So right there, he gave the plan of attack. All three is going to happen. And you do have Volge. There is Volge in his army. We saw it, and it just wasn't CGI'd this time around.
I still think if you give the Volge some solid family time, they would settle down and become farmers.
Yahtzee, right? They all play Yahtzee? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Not so much.
I think they could have a strong family life with good family values, go to Volge Church every week. Volge you don't know.
Yes, I do.
You don't know?
Craziness.
Cray, cray. All right. So, you mentioned it before, but Daytac and Nolan's dinner at the end, where they're Daytac's in the prison and Nolan's having dinner with him at the same time. They're talking about Rafe and how Rafe's heroism shames us all. That was a nice words from Daytac there. But the two of them were like, okay, well, a man is going to hang me, right? Yep. A man is going to hang you.
Can I have more salt, please?
Please pass the salt. Oh, and then Daytac with the whole, okay, let's go be fishermen and go after sea otter. Yeah, I can see the Stalma and Daytac boat on Deadliest Catch. Yeah, that's I can see that.
Yeah, notice that was the first time that Stalma has said, I've married well. And the shocking look on Daytac's face, like, I can't believe she just said that.
I can't believe she bought it. Like, that doesn't sound like a life Stalma would be into.
She didn't buy it. She's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, whatever. We're going to become, you know, because I think she likes the crime syndicate and the power more than Daytac does. I really do.
She's better at it than he is.
Well, yeah.
She's better at running it.
Well, and apparently she's better at kicking ass than him, too.
I don't know. I mean, the two of them have gotten in a fight before in the tub, and she's lost.
Maybe he's better at water sports. You don't know.
Tar polo.
Exactly.
Oh, whatever.
He could have been a champion mud wrestler back in the day. We just don't know. I mean, that could have been, you know, he was a, what was it, a Magic Mike type thing.
Still haven't seen that movie.
You say magic, I think it's Stalma, so here we go, Magic Chivo.
I don't know. It's still, I still have to block out the Alex smelling his mom on the bus. Like, oh, my mom. Oh. I mean,
Kenzie's like, she's what? What now?
And Nolan's like, let's get out of here. And Alec's like, yeah.
They should have just gone one more. And, you know, Alec been sniffing around the room and goes, oh, you think not? Smell his fingers.
Dude, I was at work. I could only watch the first 30 minutes of the show while I was at work the other day. And that's the part right there where after they left and you see Kenzie and Daddy starting to kiss. And I'm like, what the what? The purple people eaters are eating the purple peoples. That's just wrong. Wrong.
Not eating, kissing.
Well, no, there was.
It's a different culture. They're aliens. They come from a different
purple
planet.
Purple people eaters eating purple peoples. That's just weird.
I'm fine with their different culture.
It's and good. The eating.
Yeah.
All and of the that, licking.
As long as it's Kinsey, all of it's fine, man. It don't matter.
It's so cute watching you fangirl. Fanboy over a fangirl. Not quite to my level yet. You're getting there.
I don't know. He's fangirled before. We've seen it.
Yeah.
Just takes a little time.
Really? But to my level, my level of fangirling for Jamie, you have not reached it.
Yet. He did.
I put her in our logo.
I was going to say he did make her a pretty picture.
You make me a pretty Stalma picture.
No.
See?
Yeah.
She didn't ask for it, so therefore I don't do it.
Sean's obviously. Like, yeah, I'll have it done in 15 minutes. I'm like, Sean, as long as you're doing that. He's like, no. Go away.
No.
Get you to make me something else, Stalma.
Uh-huh. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
So the only other note I have for this episode is Adina. I mean, the poor girl runs. Why did she get? She's sworn to the... Oh, that's why. Because Alak was going to cut Stalma, and she's sworn to the Tar parents, not Alak.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sometimes it just takes saying it out loud to get it.
My question is, where are they getting all the white fur? I mean, are they slaughtering polar bears to line that crib?
Sea otters.
They don't have white fur.
No, the sea otters from Casti.
Were they bringing with them?
No, they were terraformed. All like human animals and crap are dying off or dead, right? You know, instead of cows, you have pow. So it's what sea otter is. You know, the ones that they were eating that Christy made in the second season or whatever with all the spikes and stuff. That's not a normal sea otter.
Yeah, all right. I'll go along with that.
I was laughing that baby was cute in the middle of amongst all that fighting. You get that one real true smile from that baby. And he's like, okay. And then he's looking around at everybody again. You see that part? Yeah. No. Okay. Just me.
Baby's just great. You. And Arissa with Bear. Oh, that was so nice.
There's something going on. I mean, I don't know what her connection is, but it's nice to see her.
Well, she have bitched a about having. Baby. She's like, oh, I'm a babysitter now. And then she was actually, it's one of the few times we saw her happy in the entire show. So, yeah, maybe you should babysit more often.
I loved the interaction between Arissa and Alec. I think it's like the first time that these teens of the town have actually seen and spoke with each other more than a couple seconds.
Oh, and the very first time she was in town, she was drawing a picture of him in the Need Want. You remember that pilot episode?
Holy crap, that goes back a ways. Yeah, yeah, I guess she was, wasn't
oh,
she?
Yeah, right there when she was waiting for Nolan to be done with Kenya.
So she's been crushing on the boy toy Alec. For quite a while. Just coming out now.
Well, we know for a fact Alec likes women who can beat his ass, so...
He needs someone to protect him. That's
right. Keep mommy away from him.
He's a helpless little bird.
Well, his wife protected him from the hell bugs.
She did. I forgot about that, Christy.
While he's laying on the floor, she's there with the
grabbing the torch. Go away. Go away. All right. You guys have any other thoughts for the episode?
Kinsey is awesome.
We know your thoughts. You're funny. We had a good week on Twitter.
We did have some tweet backs and it was awesome. And if I can pull up the show notes, I can find the first one, which was Miss Jamie Murray herself. Aw, it was so good. You know, when we had Nicole Munoz on the show, she talked about her work with Jamie and how great it was. And we took a little clip out of that and we put it on our Clamor feed. And that's actually on my Clamor feed at Stargate Pioneer on Clamor. We also tweeted out, so you can catch us on the Twitter feed for Voices of Defiance. And Jamie said to Nicole, "This recording makes me want to cry. I love you, Nicole. I was the one who was lucky to work with you. Defiance!"
Aw, that was sweet.
More to Nicole than to us, but we were included on that. So thank you very much, Jamie. And then Lieutenant Beebe tweeted us.
CCBB.
And
CCBB.
The problem was, Sean, previously in a previous cast, said pulled out the Galaxy Quest quote and talking about BB being a red shirt. And, "What is your first name? What is your name?" And he said CCBB. Well, apparently, the executive producer of the show, Mr. Kevin Murphy himself, chimed in. And he said that BB is his first name. And that...
BB.
He's like Cher. It's just BB.
Well, no, it's not just BB. It's BB gun. BB, quote unquote, "don't shoot your eye out" gun.
You shoot your eye out, kid.
There you go. Billy, thanks for playing along. We love it. And your character, very formidable looking outside the tent, sir. And you should have gone in to check on your general and killing his wife. That
I hope they do that at some point during the show. Like, BB, is that your name? BB? Yes, my name is BB Gun. Your parents named you BB Gun? They just shoot him out of hand. Like, here, put you out of your misery.
CCBB or BB Gun, it's all good.
CCBB Gun.
Ooh, there you go.
Did you see- no, wait, it's Daisy.
Do you see that?
Daisy BB Gun.
You see that meme that Arissa Wi-Fi made for me? It was CCBB Mimi.
Yeah. So, somebody else who also made a meme for us, our pal at _ sci-fi, spelled PSYFY, said, "What happens to an Omek from with time on his hands?" And the meme, it was a picture of Conrad Coates. Yeah. Tez Tevkin. And the meme is, "You won't complain of blue balls once you've had purple plums."
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Had a little Barry White playing in the background.
We had a lot of interaction on our Voices Ode Defiance Twitter account. So we thank everybody for tweeting us back and forth. We like playing back and forth. As we stated last week, it's like 95% Shannon. But every once in a while, Sean or I will chime in. So you never know what you're going to get.
Every once in a while, you'll chime in. Sean never answers them on VOD.
I don't have the password. I don't even have it loaded in my Twitter account.
It's going to be me most of the time.
Yeah, well, it'll be me, her, most of the time. But what she'll do, she'll go, I want to say this. Make that sound cooler.
Yep.
Should I send this? Is this... does this sound too formal? Because Shannon has this thing where she speaks formal. Because she's in security, well, she always answers everything very formally and matter of fact.
It's very hard for me not to be formal because it's the way I'm normal. It's the way I'm used to writing. It's the way I do reports. It's embedded in me. So
She'll show me her tweets and it'll be like, just the facts, ma'am. She's like, well, then fix it.
Make it sound less stupid.
I want to be more cool. Make me sound cool.
Just want to be one of the cool kids, Sean. Make me one of the cool kids.
I overthink my words sometimes. So sometimes I'm sitting here staring at, it takes me forever to make a meme.
She was going to tweet Jamie once, and she's sitting there agonizing over it in bed for two hours.
Remember that. You guys.
2 hours. And so she's like, baby, look at this. She hands me the phone, and I go, yep, looks good. And I hit send. She goes, no.
I would never make that mistake again.
So now when she's like, I'm trying to tweet Jamie, I'm like, here, let me see the phone. She's like, no. No, she'll run in the other room, just slam the door.
I'm not going to let you do that to me again. I was not ready to send that. Thankfully, she never responded back, so we're okay. She did respond back, though, several times this weekend, so it was great.
Pushing that damn Monopoly money.
I was doing a happy dance.
Yeah, and you say I fangirl and over stuff.
No. You don't fangirl nowhere near like I do. That's what I just said. You're not even to my level.
Jamie reacts, and Shannon does this little, like, circle hoppy thing.
Well, you did a circle hoppy thing when Kinsey first retweeted you.
You should see it when I'm at work.
I'm sure you're the...
His leg was bouncing the other day, the entire time talking to Nicole. So I'm like, you're moving the table. Yeah,
if you remember Bambi with Thumper, it's kind of like that.
Oh, that's great. And again, that interview will be out before this podcast, so just go one back. It'll be labeled VOD episode 36.5, I believe, and it'll be our interview with Kinsey herself. All right, so we are part of a network, right, Shannon?
We are.
It's the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeek.com. There is a bevy of podcasts on the network, one of which is called Unqualified Gamers. And recently, they had their latest episode, number 113, a multiplayer mod pack. So if you are a fan of the Defiance game, you might want to check this podcast out. Cody, who is the main host and producer of Unqualified Gamers, reviews Civ Addiction's multiplayer mod pack. It is a massive mod that completely overhauls Sid Meier's Civilization V. This episode is a must-listen if you're a fan of Civilization V, and if you've never played the game, well then, you'll have literally no idea what is going on. And to listen to their podcast, you will definitely hear the term literally a lot. So there you go. Unqualified.
You would literally hear it a lot.
A lot. Absolutely. So go check their podcast out. You can find it at GunnaGeek.com. So next week, we will definitely be hitting episode 7 of season 3 of Defiance. You can catch us live at Sundays, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central at GunnaGeek.com/live. And if I can get the webpage fixed, you can also find it at VoicesOfDefiance.com/live, but it will always be on GunnaGeek.com/live. So there you go. So you guys have any parting shots for the week?
definitely.
You can't wait to listen to the podcast, can you?
I love her. I love the way she talks.
I can't wait for her to see the graphics.
She just sounds damn sexy. Is it? Well, it's not that big a deal, but it was fun to talk to her. She was incredibly gracious for the time. Nicole is just a very on top of it and vivacious person. So
she wants to come back.
And she wants to come back. So hopefully that'll
happen. I don't know if I'm going to let... I might lose her Skype name, Sean. I'm sorry.
I'll find it.
All right. Until next time, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
This is Shannon.
I am Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson at GunnaGeek.com. Bye. See you guys next week.
Blog!
Blog, people.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesOdefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com, or send us a voicemail on area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Trion video game Defiance. Music titled after the apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time, and watch out for those hell bugs.
Hello, baby.
Sup, dog?
Hello. You sound much better now that I've jury-rigged you.
Mm-hmm.
What did we sound like before?
I was just having mixer issues. Still am, but...
Issues.
I have cords running back and forth across my desk. Yeah.
Your rig is going to achieve consciousness soon, dude.
Probably, which means I need to, you know, shoot this mixer with an RPG. All right.
Be better off with a Votan weapon. Mine was game humor.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, would I want to use a charge blade? Would I want to use a plasma gun? Would I want to use a Vulge mech armor? I think probably stay away from the mech armor because maybe they would meld together and make even a worse weapon. So probably
a plasma. Yeah, I found a weapon the other day last month in the game that I haven't put down. I'll throw everything else away. It's a Votan flash rifle. But yeah, Votan. Did you, I don't know if you've had one of those? It's a Votan flash rifle. It kicks ass. I can use, because you know, like when you first start playing the game, you have different loadouts, different weapons for different things. Like you have a Vulge weapon and you have a regular pulsar weapon, whatever. This Votan, it shoots everything. It'll take down Vulge, but it's by itself.
I got off the wagon with the shotgun, the Defender or something.
Crime fighter.
Yeah,
I don't even use that thing anymore.
I love it,
but
thing.
I won't get rid of it because now they make you have to have way high reputation, and you can't even buy it anymore. It's on bits now. It's not something.
I know, it's like a game cheat. That's why.
So I won't.
It annihilates everything.
I won't throw it. You know what? I don't like it. I won't throw it away because I can't get one again. But it's still somewhere in my system.
Oh no, it's a cheat. If you use it correctly, it's a cheat.
Guest 55 asks in the chat, if you're still listening on Mixler, who's the voice on the Contact Us trailer playing? That is my adult daughter. It was her first voice work that she did, and my other daughter does the voice work on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So there you go.
Cheap labor. That's what that is.
Yeah, well, there was an ensuing argument that occurred. Why is she
get to do it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, all you have to do is sit down and read some things. She's like, really? That's all I have to do? Yeah.
Get 500 microphones sitting in the house. Get in front of one and speak.
Yeah. So there were 5 takes for the intro and 6 takes from the outro. And there is parts of each take in both. So it wasn't just a one take thing. So it was definitely spliced together. But it was fun doing it for her. So that's good. Talking is hard. Suncast, yeah. You have your own podcast, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, if you do it long enough, the kids get infected with it. Kayla and I have done, we're going to do our second one, I guess, tonight. And she's pretty stoked. So they definitely see it and want to play. So it's kind of cool.
When does Agent Carter start second season?
Shannon is hooked.
You know, that is a good question. I don't think we've gotten a date, but tentatively, it's in between the season. So I would guess January again.
They're starting the UK premiere tonight. Yes, I'm hooked. I like it.
UK premiere.
I'm also hooked on Haley.
Haley Atwell?
Yes.
That was a nice picture. I was like, oh, damn. I wonder if that was, you know, CGI or if that was actually
what picture?
The picture that you tweeted of her in the cap outfit.
Oh no, I found that on somebody's Tumblr. That is an awesome picture.
I'm like, oh, I so want to date that.
Me too.
Captain Carter.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. I said I'm in love with the captain. And people's like, she's not a captain. I'm like, I know, idiot. She's in the captain's uniform. Come on. I know I'm not the comic book fan, but give me some credit.
I know my favorite character is gonna be Miss Marvel when that finally comes out, but until then, Agent 13. And if she was in a cap outfit, I'd be done. I wouldn't be able to speak for days. Just be drooling.
Now, this picture that I found, I zoomed in on her because the other girl that's in the show with her.
The Angie?
Yeah, she was dressed right beside her as Iron Man.
Oh, nice. Nice.
But
now, Haley's
the important one.
Yeah, there is a female Iron Man character, but it's based off of Pepper Potts, and it's called Rescue. So it is feasible that they would do something like that. But Angie is years and years and years decades before Iron Man. So it's just not going to happen.
Iron Man, Tony isn't even born yet.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
But yep, you get me hooked. I like watching it. I haven't seen the last episode of Agent Carter yet, but I'll do that today.
We have confirmation now that the actor that plays Sousa is coming back. Angie's coming back. The actor that plays the butler, what's his name? Jarvis. Jarvis is coming back. And, of course, Haley's coming back. So that's the confirmation that I've heard so far for season 2.
In real life, Haley isn't best friends with the guy that plays Jarvis.
She is not?
She is. In real life, they're best friends.
Right. Some of the cons that we got audio from was they were laughing because they would share their British jokes back and forth because they're both British and nobody else on the set were getting
it. Have you seen the videos they've been posting of the con lately of the battle between Agent Carter and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I think it's called the Dumb Mash videos.
No, I haven't seen any of that.
Oh my God, they're so funny. They crack me up because one team will, they're like lip singing to a song and then they send it to the other group and they're like, okay, top that. Oh. And it's been going back and forth and the battle got pretty funny last night because her and the guy that plays Jarvis, I don't know his real name, they did a song and then Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sent her and Coulson a video.
You know, Chloe Bennett was a pop star in Asia, a teen pop star.
She's cute.
Yeah, I'm serious. She really was a teen pop star in Asia.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
She's more than cute.
I know. I follow her and Haley.
She's wicked hot.
James Darcy plays Jarvis.
Yeah, Jarvis.
His name is Mr. Darcy.
So you should watch it. Go to Haley's Twitter page and you can see the videos going back and forth between them. Okay. And last night I was walking through Walmart. It was like 12:30 at night and I'm laughing because the video that Chloe sent back to them, back to Haley, it's called, you know, they're two different teams. They had all of the characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doing a song. And at the end of it, you had, what's his name? Greg Clarkson. That's his name.
Clark Gregg.
Greg Clark. Clark Gregg. He stands up and he's in an Agent Carter outfit.
With the hat, the red hat,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, the hat with the blue dress. I mean, it's all. I retweeted it, so you could find it on my page too.
Oh, that's gonna be fun to go watch. Oh, geez, you guys should.
Now,
do
if you get past all my game pictures that I did last night. Oh yeah, it's both of them are on my. Well, I got two of them on my Twitter feed.
Yep, I think my prime goal right now is to get my laptop up and running, get my backup up and running, and then get a new mixer and then do a lot of editing. So I think that's and fix a flat tire. You know, I still got to do that from yesterday. So
I so hope that somebody comes to New York Comic Con. They haven't announced anybody I want to see yet. I mean, they have Jewel Staten. I've seen her before, though.
Yeah, well, she's going to be, what, 6 months pregnant by then?
Yeah.
More. She might be 8 months pregnant by then.
She should be almost getting ready to hatch that.
So I don't know if she's actually going to be there. She might have scheduled it before.
Nathan's going to be there.
Yeah. Well, Sci-Fi is headquartered. NBC is headquartered in New York. So I don't know if they'll want to have more of a presence there or not. We'll see. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.